This video is sponsored by New Masters Academy. New Masters Academy is an online educational website for artists offering a rigorous art education focusing on building fundamental art skills. New Masters Academy is affordable, a fraction of the cost of traditional art school, the biggest and best streaming art course library. New Masters Academy course library includes over 1,600 hours of video instruction. New Masters Academy courses are taught by top professional artists and instructors with decades of experience in both the fine art and entertainment art fields. New Masters Academy offers courses suitable for beginners as well as professionals. Every course is included with your subscription. All courses are available for unlimited streaming. All the reference imagery you need to practice along. Premium subscribers also get access to our art reference library of over 50,000 high-resolution images. Step into the future of art reference with 3D models. Premium subscribers also get access to our revolutionary 3D.
Hello, everybody. Today, we are going to be drawing lobsters using Adobe Fresco, watercolor, and oil pastels. If you would like to grow as an artist and you can't afford an art class, we've got everything you need here. Art prof critiques, tutorials, and professional development. We are going to be drawing a lobster that I had for dinner.
That's wonderful.
And I have with us here on the chat, Mia Rozier, who a lot of you probably know from the Instagram and YouTube comments. So welcome, Mia. And I want to tell all of you a little bit about the materials that I'm using today, because I did a little bit of prep in advance, and Mia is tearing it up on the left-hand side with the pencil brush. Is that what
you're
using? Yeah,
yeah. Adobe Fresco pencil brush. It's amazing. It's one of my favorite things to use.
Why do you like the pencil brush so much?
It reminds me so much of the traditional material. I think when you use digital materials, sometimes it gets a bit lost in translation if you're really used to using regular pencils or regular pen. But this one, it's almost like traditional. It's so close to real life, and I just love how it translates digitally.
So what I did is I started with Yupo paper. If you haven't used Yupo paper before, it's very strange. It's very, very smooth and soft, and it feels like plastic. But the thing is, it absorbs water-based media. So you can paint with watercolor or gouache. And that's basically what I did here, is I painted a layer of watercolor first, and then I did a water-based colored pencil on top. And you can see it picks up all of the washes and all of the textures. And by the way, I just want to give a shout out to provided the Yupo paper that we are using today. So thank you so much, Legion, for giving us those materials to play around with, because I had never really used Yupo paper before. And it's just a really exciting material to use. Now, the other materials that we have today are these Holbein Artist Oil Pastels. And I've never used this brand before. The brands that I've used in the past, Sakura, Caran d'Ache, and the Sennelier Oil Pastels. So this is totally new. I've never used these. And this is how they come. When you get the set, they come in little plastic containers, which are very cute and pretty. But I actually discovered that for me, at least, because I'm such a messy artist, it was hard for me to use them just like this without a piece of paper. So I actually used a piece of razor paper and taped it around so that when I hold the oil pastel, my hands aren't getting super gross. Mia, have you used oil pastels before?
I think I've tried them once or twice in like one of my high school art classes, but I can't deal with the mess of it. I'm totally one of those like neat freaks who needs I need little materials. I need to be able to carry them around. I can't deal with like all the dust I admire those who can, though.
Yeah, I was doing some oil pastel drawings yesterday, and my hands, I look like a car mechanic. It was so gross. So we're going to give these a try, and Holbein has all kinds of other oil pastels. They have student grade, they have professional grade, and you can see in this pamphlet, they have a lot of information about all the different sets. They have sets of like 6 colors, 48. So check out their website and their social media links. They are in the YouTube video description below, as are the art supply links if you want to see the specific materials that I'm going to be using. And John Murph says, isn't Holbein expensive? That's such an awesome advice to put a piece of paper at the end. I mean, all good quality art supplies are expensive. Wouldn't you say that's true, Mia?
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say so for sure.
And by the way, we would love it for all of you to draw along with us, because after the stream, we are going to be doing a state session in the Discord channel, post live streams, and Mia and I will critique your work that you do from the art along on voice. And so if you want a link to the reference photos that Mia and I are using today, those links are in the YouTube video description below. So Mia, what's the deal with you and crabs and lobsters and all that?
Oh man, well, I don't know. I just think that they're so weird and like funky to draw. Like, look at all these legs in the middle of the photo that I'm referencing. It's just like, it's an explosion of just random parts. It's ridiculous. So I just like kind of putting it together like a little puzzle. And normally it doesn't turn out like 100% accurate, but I think it's, the results are always very interesting, to say the least.
You know what? I had this lobster for dinner, of course, because, you know, I had to buy it, photograph it, cook it, photograph it again, and then we had it for dinner.
Lovely, as you do.
Of course. And so this lobster was impossible to crack open. Like, I have never had a lobster that was so, I felt like I was eating a piece of granite. Like, it was so absurdly hard to crack open.
That's ridiculous. I've actually, I think, I don't even know if I've ever cracked a lobster open. I can't remember ever doing it. Wow, I feel like such a fake lobster fan. I'm just like,
Such a poser.
I know, I really am.
So my first thought about these Holbein oil pastels is that they're really, really smooth, but I wonder if that's because I'm using Yupo paper. So actually, what I think I want to do is get one of my Caran d'Ache oil pastels and make the comparison, because I can't really tell because this is so slick. So give me a second. Okay, so this one is Caran d'Ache and this one is Holbein. So let's do a little Caran d'Ache up here, and I'm just going to mark that so you can all see. That's Caran d'Ache. This is the Holbein. Of course, they're different colors, but I'm just trying to feel them physically and see how that is. Of course, now I can't find my Caran d'Ache oil pastel. I think the Holbeins are slicker. I think they're a little bit less sticky. And honestly, it's a preference thing. Mia, don't you find that people like different things and there isn't one that's better than another?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think, yeah, I've experienced that a lot, like, with painting, like, in different painting classes and things like that, because there's, like, a million different ways to do everything. Like, you could paint on cardboard, you could paint on canvas, you could do oils, acrylics, and some people are like, oh, those are terrible, I hate those. But I think it's really just a matter of kind of, it's all subjective. It's what you prefer and like what works for you and your own style. So yeah, I think it's definitely a subjective thing.
I think the Caran d'Ache is softer and stickier And it's a little more streaky because I'm noticing up here, I can see some streaks, but when I do the Holbein, I don't see the streaks as much. So that's the difference. So I would say if anybody here, if you prefer a stickier, heavier, more pasty oil pastel, I'd go with Caran d'Ache. If you want something that's slicker and a little bit less sticky and slides across the surface more, I would use Holbein. That's really the big difference. And then the other difference is that the Holbein oil pastels are not wrapped in paper, but a lot of other oil pastels are. So if that's something that you prefer, just do what I did. Just put paper around them and that'll be totally fine. Cool. That's fun. I always like trying different materials. Do you have loyalties to certain brands, Mia?
Man, I just kind of use what I end up having. Like I'm very lucky. My grandma, who I actually talk about a lot on these streams, but she is so nice. She gives me a lot of her extra materials. She's a watercolor painter. So I just kind of use whatever brands she gives to me. And then I just kind of play it by ear as far as when they run out. So maybe I'll expand my horizons next time I need to restock.
Is she the only artist in your family, or do you have other artists in your family?
Oh man, well, I have other like really creative people in my family. My other grandma on my mom's side is like totally like crafty. She's like, I think she just turned 80 and she's still like on ladders on the roof, like starting new house projects and like repainting her basement. It's crazy. So she's always doing something new. And then my family's very like musical. They love singing and like, so yeah, I think everyone's creative in their own little way, which is super cool.
Tell us in the chat, who here comes from a creative artistic family? Because Mia, I'm the only one.
Oh no. Yeah, I think I'm one of the few visual artists, but yeah.
Oh, look at this, Mia. Your mom is here. I love this.
Woohoo!
She says, Lobster, I love watching you all create and learning about art supplies too. Perhaps draw sea urchins. Ooh.
Do you know why she said that? It's because we went on a family boat vacation recently and I sat on a sea urchin. And it was like the worst pain I've ever felt in my life. It was terrible. So now everyone's making fun of me and bringing up sea urchins. Oh, yeah. So I was snorkeling around and I had seen a sea urchin earlier that day. And I said, oh, that looks so painful. I wouldn't want to step on that. And then somehow when I was taking off my little snorkel flipper things, I ended up twisting myself and I sat right on one and it was just terrible. It was awful. Ugh.
I mean, did it draw blood?
It didn't draw blood, but it looked like a giant bug bite. It was just really painful. And now it just looks like I have like, it's shaped like Africa. I just have like a terrible like red spot like on my butt, but it's terrible. I hate it so much.
Does anybody have any sea urchin, sea creature attack stories?
Attack. That's funny. But yeah, I would not recommend it. It's bad.
So my dog says, I would never have thought. Oh, what? Say that again.
Oh, I just said I wouldn't recommend sitting on one. It's not fun. That's all.
No. Seven Angelic says, I would never have thought to try oil pastel on Yupo paper. Neat. You know what? This is not my idea. I am going to credit somebody in the Discord who tried it. And they looked so cool. And they explained to me that pastels just slid, like glided across the surface like an ice skater. And I was like, oh my God, I need to try that. And we have another comment from Kirsten who says these pastels are so vibrant, they look like they're edible. Yeah, they are really yummy looking.
Yeah, that orange is crazy bright. That's amazing.
And it's very, I mean, I think this is more the Yupo paper than the pastels, but it's so slick. Like, I've never been able to get that quality before with oil pastels. It's really interesting. So Mia, we had you on for the Kickstarter campaign that you ran for your tarot cards. How is that going?
It's going really well. Yeah, I'm still waiting on the shipment to come in, but it looks like it'll be here in around 2 weeks. So I'm excited to get all of those kind of rewards out and like preparing all the packaging and like setting everything up so that it'll be smooth sailing once everything gets here. But yeah, I'm excited. It's going well.
You know what's funny, Mia, is this green feels very different than the brown. Do you ever see that with certain colors? Like they just behave differently?
Oh yeah, especially like when you put them next to each other, all the color theory, weird magic stuff happens and it like just looks so different than what it like might look like in the package.
Well, because I'm noticing that the green, it's a little bit more transparent than the brown. The brown is like super opaque and thick, and same thing with this one. But I noticed down here, when I started adding some of the green, it did not have the value range that the brown has. So it's got this transparent quality that I wasn't anticipating. It's cool.
That is cool.
So you have not gotten to hold the tarot card deck in your hands yet?
I actually, where is it? I think, I put it somewhere else. But I have a hard copy proof. So I have one hard copy proof of the box with all the cards in it, which I actually was planning on posting on Instagram today. So if you're curious, you could check that out. But it's really awesome. The only problem is that when they proof your work, they only print half the cards. So I have to wait until the full order gets here to see all the cards. So I'm excited. I'm waiting on that.
That's going to be a great moment, don't you think?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I'm so excited. It's going to be like such a reward to see everything in print. Totally great. Not in Photoshop documents. That was terrible.
Well, you know what really I did not realize until I went into illustration is that the whole concept of being illustrated, the whole concept of illustration is that the final product is the printed product. And I was like, what? So basically, if you have a magazine illustration, people consider the actual magazine the finished product, not the actual physical artwork. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, I think that's very interesting. It's interesting because people have told me as well, like, oh, the original illustrations for the deck, those are like paintings. Those are the paintings, but the reproduced versions, they're not paintings anymore. They're like a product. So it's just interesting how it all shifts based on how it's produced.
Oh, we got a good story here, Mia, from Bean, who says, I found a dying stingray on the east coast of the US a decade ago. It was attacked by gulls or something. We tried to flip it over and get it swimming again, but it was a goner.
Oh no, that's so sad. At least it didn't sting you. At least you didn't get stung. That would be bad. Oh no.
You know, at the New England Aquarium, they have a stingray tank where you can just stick your hands in and touch the stingrays. Have you seen that?
I think I have, actually. I don't think I stuck my hands in, though. I'm too paranoid. It's worse because I'm kind of, as much as I love sea creatures, I'm scared of the ocean. I'm scared of everything in it. So I was very brave and I went snorkeling and I said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be part of the family experience. And then I immediately sat in a sea urchin. It was crazy. The bad luck. It was the first day of the vacation too. It was terrible.
Oh no. So you had to spend the whole vacation with that thing on your butt?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it fell off. Like it wasn't attached to me, but it's still hurt really bad. It hurts so bad. It's slowly healing, though. It's a lot better than it was.
Oh, you poor thing. So let's see. Jane says, no other artists in my family, though my sister had some talent when we were younger, but never did anything with it. I was later. And we have Leanna, who says, my mom is a seamstress and specializes in wedding gowns. She also majored in a BFA in advertising. So we had a lot of art materials growing up. Well, Mia was manufacturers for these streams, and I'm just throwing art supplies at my kids all day.
Oh man, if they are going to become artists, that's like the best like house to grow up in.
Well, they have been majorly making fun of me lately. Especially appreciate this Mia. Give it TikTok.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I mean, I make fun of myself sometimes for even like being on the app, but I think it'll be worth it. I think it'll be worth it.
Well, but see, I can't tell. Do people your generation embrace it and love it to death, or are you guys mildly embarrassed?
I think that everyone is like, unless you're a hardcore kind of like a creator, you're an influencer or something, I think that everybody kind of holds a bit of embarrassment about it. But I think everyone kind of bonds over that in a weird way.
I wonder if that's just the reputation of the app, that everybody's like, oh, it's the dancing app. But the thing is, like, a lot of teachers are starting to use it. Did you know that?
Yeah, a lot of teachers, a lot of like, it's really crazy how it can like make a small business too. Like if you blow up on TikTok, you're kind of weirdly set. It's crazy the influence it has.
So tell us in the chat, who here is on TikTok? Who here just watches from a distance? And who here is like, oh my God, never. Because if any of you didn't already know, Mia is actually mastermind behind the art prop TikTok, correct?
Mastermind, sure. I'm trying my best. It's a grand experiment.
Well, you did give the TAs a masterclass on TikTok a couple of weeks back.
That was funny.
Well, I was telling the TAs, I'm like, I'm sorry, guys, you're old now. You're like me.
I think I'm only really in the loop because I have two little siblings that keep me involved in things.
Oh, is that what it is?
Maybe. Well, they were the ones who got me on the app, and then I was bored and became addicted to it, and now it's just of my own accord. But yeah, they definitely convinced me to get on there.
Well, were they like pressuring you to look at it or to like start your own?
Well, they would send me videos a lot. They would like text me videos and stuff. And they were like annoyed. They were like, oh, Mia, just like download the app so we can just like send each other things on the app. And I was like, okay, fine. Cause I wanted to be involved. And then, but yeah, then I just started like watching them.
But then what convinced you to actually start your own account?
I think when I started finishing up when I started really making progress on the tarot deck, I thought that I really wanted, I was like, oh, I'll just give it a shot. Maybe people will like to see it. And they did. So that was cool. I just thought I'd give it a try. But I rarely post videos of my own anymore.
Well, you're probably too busy right now, right?
Yeah, right now at least.
And by the way, I would like to give a shout out to RB Dick. Thank you so much for the super sticker. We greatly appreciate your support. Every time you help us out, it's so important to keeping Art Prof up and running. Oh, Mia, you'll want to hear this little piece of advice from Seven Angelic.
Oh,
don't sea urchins have venom in their spines too?
Well, we looked it up. My whole family, we swam all the way to this little island to look around the beach. And immediately when we got there, I sat on it. And so then I started freaking out. And my dad had to bring a little dinghy boat over to pick me up. And everyone was Googling on their phones, like, is she going to lose her leg? Like, what's going to happen? Like, so there was a moment of panic. But luckily, it was just kind of a hydrogen peroxide neosporin kind of deal, which is good.
Oh my gosh, were you guys really worried that like something serious was gonna happen?
Well, yeah,
we're laughing now, but.
Well, yeah, because we all had the same thought of like, oh, isn't there like poison in there? And I started getting like cramps down my leg. So I was afraid for a second. I was like, oh no. But yeah, that passed. It passed. It's all good now.
Mia, this is such a great nerdy comment from ComQ, because says, talking about paper or glue with people that aren't artists makes you feel insane.
That's very true.
Well, I think it's almost like when you go to the grocery store, you shouldn't go when you're hungry. Do you ever do that?
Yeah. Most of the time I like actually think of that, because I'm like, oh, what do I actually need to eat? What's good for me to eat? And then what do I want to eat? There's like so many different factors that go into it somehow.
The worst place is Trader Joe's. They always put something really yummy looking at register, and so you're like waiting in line and you're like, oh yeah, I need pomegranate green tea crackers with a hint of rosemary.
I love Trader Joe's. I will go to Trader Joe's any day. And I love the alphabet cookies. They have these really awesome cinnamon like alphabet cookies that I've had all like ever since I was a kid. And I actually went the other day and I got a whole thing of it. I was like, yes, I love Trader Joe's. 10 out of 10.
Wait, Trader Joe's in Providence?
Yeah, there's Trader Joe's everywhere. Or it's in Warwick, so it's like kind of far away. But I make the trip. I make the trip for Trader Joe's.
I was like, you RISD students, you guys are so spoiled. We only had like this one like really sketchy grocery store Omax. It was a little scary looking.
Oh no.
Let's just say it was not Whole Foods.
Oh man, Whole Foods is way too expensive for me to shop at. I can't deal with that.
Well, you know what they call Whole Foods? They call it Whole Paycheck.
Ah, yeah, that's smart.
Well, and also when I go to Whole Foods, I'll buy like three things and it's like $40. It's absurd.
It's crazy. It's ridiculous.
I think I'm going to start smudging the oil pastels, because I bet they're going to smudge really easily on the Yupo paper. Let's see. Some comment on social media. Fiona says, I'm on Facebook, not TikTok. Mia, are you even on Facebook? I don't think, are you?
I have a Facebook, but I never go on it. I only really go on to like say hi to family sometimes, but yeah, I never really got into the swing of Facebook, I think. But I just downloaded Twitter because of the Instagram kind of move towards video. I heard that Twitter might be a good midway for like still pictures. Oh man, I'm just still trying to figure it all out. It's so confusing.
Well, we actually did a stream, I think a few days ago, about the Instagram change, because a lot of artists are understandably very stressed out about it. And a lot of people are like, oh, do I move to Twitter? Do I stay on Facebook? It's like, oh my God, it's so complicated.
Yeah, I skimmed through that video and it just made me so stressed. I was so stressed. I was like, no.
Well, so I'm curious from people here in the chat, who here uses Twitter as an artist? I mean, Mia, did you just get set up or have you been on Twitter for a while?
I just downloaded it yesterday and I still have to make my account, but I will test it out. I'll give it a good try and I'll let you know how it goes. I've never really liked Twitter that much, but I've never given it like a fair shot. So I'll try and do that soon.
Well, you want some Twitter's?
Twitter advice?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So the thing about Twitter is you can't use it for self-promotion. People don't like that on Twitter. It's much better if you have something conversational to say. So for example, if you look at my Twitter, I don't say things like tutorial premiere tomorrow at Saturday, 12 o'clock. I don't say anything like that because that's not how people use Twitter. It's more a conversation. So I might say something like, oh, I think my tweet today was, is anybody in academia actually nice? That was my tweet today.
Yeah, I do like how kind of more, it seems like Twitter is a lot more kind of casual than Instagram. I feel like on Instagram, everyone's trying to make their like themselves look like really perfect and beautiful and not in a bad way, but just kind of a very much like, this is the ideal kind of way of my life. Whereas Twitter's just kind of like, I made this thing. What do you think about it? Or like something like that, where it is kind of more conversational. So I'm excited to give it a try.
I mean, the way I see Twitter, it's sort of like you go into a room and you're just chatting. That's all it is. It's not really about showing your work, or if it is showing your work, you want to do it in a way that's conversational. You don't want to just say, hey, I made this. Everybody retweeted for me. Like, that's not how to use it.
Yeah, I think I'm excited to just kind of throw stuff into the void and like see what happens. I do like experimenting whenever I download something new.
Well, you have such a great attitude about it. And some people are like, oh, well, I want to wait until I'm a master of this, this, and this. I can't do. And I'm like, just try it. Like, it's okay to be bad at it for a little while, you know?
Yeah, I also think like it's really cool to like if you get on an app, like as kind of toxic as it may be, there is always kind of a cool community that you can find. Like there's so many artists on Instagram that I never would have talked to unless I had downloaded Instagram and like had gotten on there. So I think that makes it worth it despite the other frustrations.
John Murph says, I do Twitter to keep updated with the Pope's activity. Oh yeah, the Pope, thought about that. But it's pleasant to know that I have a few audiences, but no interaction whatsoever. How do you get people to interact with you on Twitter? That's a really good question. I think if you want people to reply to your tweet, what really helps is to ask a question. So one of the questions I asked recently that actually got a lot of response, like Mia, you probably know about this, the hell of trying to label your files. Do you have problems with that like me?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I had to go through all of my Google Drive the other day. It was just, it was like the worst experience ever. It's terrible.
So in my tweet, what I asked people was, what is the dumbest thing you have ever named a file? And everybody had a response to that. So Mia, what is the dumbest thing you've ever named a file?
I think sometimes I just like, I'll just, when I don't know what else to do, I'll just write in like curses or like swears, like .jpg. And just like, so my whole, so like all of my, when I'm frustrated and I have so many things to label, and I never like send out those files. I rename them when I need to, but it's just also, it lets me get the anger out. Cause normally it's whenever the app is crashing or like something terrible is happening. So it's fun. It's pretty funny. It makes the folders interesting.
Oh my God. That's hilarious. I never thought about doing that. It's probably satisfying, right?
It is, but it does make things confusing because I'm like, what is, like, what? And then it's a picture of, like, a nice, sweet, like girl in a yard or something like that. And the name is just, like, bleep. Yeah, it's funny.
I think the dumb ones that I have, it's, like, bread painting watercolor 2 final. Use this one next.
Yeah.
Since I have Twitter, but don't post on it. I rarely get on it and only follow a few celebrities. None of my friends have active accounts as far as I know. Well, Mia, the other thing I've noticed about Twitter, it's really not for fine artists. It's mostly illustration and animation. That's what I've seen. What have you noticed about who's on there for artists?
I actually am not that sure. Like, I'm not sure. In high school, I knew that there were a few kind of like illustrators, like Instagram type kind of artists on there. But yeah, I don't really know much, but I'm excited to kind of browse around. I might do that today and make an actual account. We'll see.
Well, but Mia, that's such a smart way to do it because a lot of people get very stressed. Oh my God, I have to start right away. I have to do this. And I'm like, no, just hang out. Just see what's on there and observe your behavior because that's what I've been doing on TikTok. Like I've been looking at TikTok and saying, okay, what are the posts that I bother to watch? What are the ones I swipe through? And that's just really good research to figure out the app, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, absolutely. It's just interesting because you're like, okay, if I do want to become successful on this app, like how should I format things? Like what do I need to take into consideration? Blah, blah, blah. It's a lot of kind of annoying social media work, but it's interesting to, yeah, like take note of how you behave.
Well, and also I think just shifting your mindset about things because I know when people were telling me again on TikTok, I was like, oh, I don't want to do this. This is so annoying. And I was like, Clara, that's a really crappy attitude.
Oh man, but like it is, it's annoying, but I think like, yeah, it's always good to kind of like keep an open mind, I guess, with that kind of thing. If not, then I feel like you'll like people grow really bitter really quickly.
Yeah, and it's like, you can't be on a platform and be mad that you have to be there and be successful. Like that's not gonna happen, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like if you're on a platform, you have to kind of embrace it at least a little bit.
Well, because don't you think people can sense when you're being insincere?
Yeah, and then they're just like, oh, you're just here to like, I don't know, get clout or something. Like you're just here for the short time success, which is like everyone is, but you gotta kind of fake it till you make it, I guess.
Shasta says, these lobsters are looking great and probably like the deep blue shading and light blue in the background. Thank you. I was thinking before that I was going to use a lot of dark green because, you know, complementary colors and stuff like that. But this green that I was using before was a little bit too transparent. And so actually I'm really liking this like Prussian blue like color and the purples. And the browns are actually pretty strong because sometimes I found a lot of the browns in oil pastel, they're just kind of dull. And I like how rich this one is feeling. Oh my God, I just looked at yours and I hadn't looked at it the whole stream and it looks so awesome.
Thank you, I love yours. The texture of the pastel is like crazy. I don't know, because I looked up a little while ago and you had just said that you were gonna start smudging stuff and somehow that like elevated it to an entirely new level. It's amazing. It's so cool.
You know something? I'm gonna give the Yupo paper the credit here. I mean, the pastels are really good. I'm not saying they're not, but the Yupo paper is so smooth and there's just not a lot of physical resistance. Like when I've used oil pastels in the past, sometimes smudging them is a lot of work and it hurts your fingers, but these don't. Like it's just lining. It's amazing. Like, why haven't I done this before? Fiona is saying, what about shading technique for drawing a lobster? For me, a lot of it is just really where the shadows are. And a lot of that has to do with the photo, don't you think, Mia?
Yeah, I think so. Oh man, yeah, I'm still struggling that as I draw, because there's so many bits and pieces that it's easy to get kind of lost in there and not focus on everything else around.
Well, yours is way more complicated than mine.
I like your position. I think the claws are always so interesting. I wanted to get one with like good claw action.
I mean, what I think is funny about lobsters is they have a lot of fur. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I have to zoom in on mine a little bit because I've been looking at it from a distance. So I got to get in there and do all the details like that.
But I'm just noticing, especially on the lobster tail, there's all this like reddish orange fur. And I'm trying to get in a little bit of that texture so it doesn't look too smooth.
I find I struggle with that a lot. When I do digital stuff, it always looks kind of smooth. I have to explore texture brushes more.
So Shasta is saying, has Mia done all that during the stream? Beautiful. Well, Mia, you did a little bit of sketching before because we knew the stream was going to be a little shorter than usual. So that gave you the ability to really spend time on the color, right?
Yeah. So I actually have the layers separate. I started out and I was just finishing up this line art right when the stream was starting. So yeah, the majority of it, I've just been working on color a little bit, but it always helps to get the basic kind of structure, the bones of it first, and then I feel freer to explore a little. Yeah, I'm feeling it out as I go.
So Fiona is asking, what about using chalk pastel for drawing a lobster? Oh, you could totally use anything. I think it's just, when you switch media, it's another language. Do you ever feel that way, Mia?
Oh yeah, for sure. When you start a different material, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Like if I was doing this with any other material, I would like probably be approaching it in a very different way.
So there are those differences, but at the same time, there's a lot of stuff that's just the same.
Yeah. I think that everyone kind of has their own little, like, kind of consistent way of doing things.
I mean, isn't that quote unquote your style?
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
I mean, here's a question for you, Mia, because you just recently did those tarot cards, but the thing is, you're still in school at the same time. I mean, do you feel like you have a style or not?
I think I have things that I know that I really like to make, and I think I have materials now that I feel really confident that I'll probably pursue over other materials, but I don't know. Like, I still want to explore so much more as far as, like, subject matter and kind of, like, how I go about doing things. So, I mean, I guess I do have a little bit of a style, but I'm still kind of, there's so much more room to grow, I think. So I'm trying to keep my mind open.
I mean, I think your tarot card deck was really cohesive.
Yeah, that was a fun series to like actually try and that was like a cool challenge for style, I think, is like, how do I make everything cohesive and look like one thing, but then also have fun like playing around with different subject matter and things. And that was like a perfect project for that.
Well, I'm curious who here in the chat is worried about having a style. I mean, do you see that, Mia, with some of your artist friends? Are they worried about it?
Yeah, I think so. I know that a lot of my friends are worried because I think that on social media, algorithms kind of favor people who make really similar things more than people who kind of explore. That's what I've found anyway, where it's like, if you have really cohesive images one after the other, people really like that. They really like kind of going somewhere and having like regularity. They love style. So I think that in terms of like being successful freelance wise, I think people are kind of concerned, myself included. But yeah, I think that there's always room for experimental artists. I think that's like not even a question.
I mean, that's one thing I sort of don't like about the algorithms is it's like, they keep showing you things that are similar. So if you look up snails, it just wants to show you snails. And that's sort of boring. Like, why can't I look up snail and it can show me a piranha or something, you know, like, oh, you want to expose you to something different? Like, I sort of wish that they were like that.
Yeah, that's why I actually love Pinterest. Like, I think as far as, I don't even know if I can, like, I know Pinterest is technically social media, but I don't know. It feels so different and personal. And it does give you so much variety, and it's that's a great app to use for like art references and stuff. Oh, I love Pinterest.
Well, see, I feel like Pinterest is more of almost like a research platform. Like, I don't see a huge amount of interaction on it, or maybe I'm doing it wrong. I don't know.
Oh no, yeah, like I have no interest. I don't post anything on Pinterest, but I like going on because it feels like kind of a void again. Like, it's like, oh, people are here, but everyone's kind of quiet and doing their own thing and like using it for their own little reasons. And I think that's really nice, but it would be hard to like kind of self-promote on Pinterest, I feel like.
It's more like just personal collections.
Yeah, yeah.
We have a question for you, Mia. What colors do you typically start with? I see you're using a dark color now. Do you use dark colors in the later process?
Yeah, I think I tend to start, I think, with some mid-tones. Like, I think if I'm remembering correctly, I started with kind of like this orangey reddish color over here, and I kind of built on like other mid-tones, and now I'm kind of going in and adding more highlights and dark spaces to really like amp up the contrast a little bit. And I'll still go in and adjust things later on. But yeah, I like adding the dark later. It feels like a reward because you see everything start to pop more.
I do the same thing with highlights, I think. Like, I save the highlights for last because, oh, it feels good.
Yeah, it's like, yes, it like wraps everything together. It feels so satisfying.
Yeah. And it's funny because all the buildup before that can feel a little bit like grunt work, but then you're like, oh.
it's like, yeah, yeah, it like, oh, it's so good.
It's almost like watching Sherlock.
My parents are so into that show right now, or at least they were. I don't know. My mom's watching, so she could tell you. But
I think your mom and I have like the exact same taste in movies and celebrities.
I think so. Yeah. Every time she sees a picture of Hugh Jackman, she's like, oh, I got it. Like, you have to show Clara. Like, you have to tell Clara that I found this. It's really funny.
Well, I wasn't sure. Are you a Sherlock fan or not?
I watched a little bit of it. But I think I started watching it when I was watching like Supernatural or something at the same time. So I never really like got super into it. But it's a great show. I really loved what I did watch. That's one that I might binge later on.
I'm just very excited because I didn't know if my older kid was going to like it because I don't know. My kids are very particular about what shows they'll watch. But I was like, okay, maybe she's old enough to like appreciate this. And so we started watching it and she really likes it. I'm like, okay, let's watch the whole thing from beginning to end.
Oh, yay. That's such a good bonding experience too.
It is, because my other kid just watches Morty and Adventure Time all day.
I love those two shows. I actually watched Adventure Time this year in quarantine. I watched the whole thing. It was wonderful. So good.
Oh, you did? That's so funny. Oh, your mom says, yes, Sherlock, waiting on more seasons. I don't think they're like ever going to make it again because it's been like 4 years since the last season.
Who's to say? They're making reboots of like everything now. So maybe in a couple years.
I'm on a major like Benedict Cumberbatch. What, how should we say? Roll. Right now. So now you have to confess, Mia, who is your celebrity crush?
Oh no. Let's see. Who am I into these days? Oh geez.
Maybe you don't have one right now.
Oh no, I definitely do. But you know when someone asks you like what your favorite song is and you can't remember any songs at all and you're just like, yep. I don't know. Oh man. I like, I've been watching Peaky Blinders and I like Cillian Murphy a lot, but I wouldn't say he's like a celebrity crush. I gotta
so
think it
creepy.
Over.
Oh my God.
I know. I started watching the show and I was like, he's like so weird looking, like whoever would like him. And then the character got me. I like the character a lot. Yeah, that kind of switched it. But that was a weird, I was just like, ew, like who would ever find him attractive? I think he looks really weird, but there's something about the personality and the voice that's just so nice.
I think it's his eyes. I think his eyes are super creepy.
Yeah. And his mouth, it's like weird. It's just like, ugh. I don't know. He's kind of scary looking.
So C. Cantrell says that algorithm is why they say that the internet is exclusive/not inclusive. Yeah, I feel like the internet, it makes it easier for people to stay in their bubbles and not step outside of that, which I think is sort of a problem.
Yeah. But it's weird because as soon as you, it's so strange because I've thought about it so much. Like, what if there was like an app for artists and it was kind of smaller? And I'm sure that they exist. Like, I've actually been kind of weirdly part of beta testing one of them that a student has been working on, like at Brown or something. But I think as soon as they start to become successful, you get the problem of, oh no, it's a big app now. So it's like, it's the same kind of loop of issues.
Right. I mean, I think it's stupid for Instagram to try to be like TikTok because
I think,
am on Instagram because it does not serve the same purpose as TikTok, right?
Exactly. That's my thought too. I just don't know why they feel the need to try and be something that already exists. Like there's already, it's that kind of place is already filled. There's no real need for that. Like just be kind of be Instagram, be what you are.
Well, and I know that Facebook is trying to copy Clubhouse. And I think
What's
Twitter
Clubhouse?
Is trying to add a Clubhouse thing. What?
I don't know what Clubhouse is. What's that?
Well, it's not available to everybody yet. It's only available by invite. I can invite you if you want. But
oh, cool. I have no idea.
It's very hot right now. Like a lot of people are very excited about it, but it's all audio. There's no visuals or links or anything. So basically there's all these like rooms and it's just people talking on audio and you can just like enter the room. I mean, it's sort of like the Discord stage sessions where there are these people on the stage who are chatting and then you can ask from the audience questions and stuff. I don't know, it's pretty cool.
That's cool. I wonder what I would use that for. Like, I'm sure that I would use it for things, but
It's kind of like a podcast that's live. I mean, I know you're really into podcasts, right?
Yeah, I am. I'm into the true crime podcast. I'm actually seeing my favorite one live next year, hopefully. I'm so excited. I feel so like nerdy talking about it, but so excited.
Which podcast is it?
It's called Last Podcast on the Left. It's like three guys who are like kind of comedians and they go over like recent kind of weird news events and then also like big kind of spectacles in history. It's kind of fun. It's fun to work too. Like, and you hear people talking in the background. I love that.
What I think is annoying about podcasts right now is that everybody thinks they're easy. And I'm like, putting on a quality podcast is a crazy amount of work. Like, why do people think it's just something you can throw together? Is it just the medium? I don't understand. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I think like so many people are just like, oh, my friends and I can just start a podcast and it'll be successful. There's just so, yeah, because you have to have the personality, you have to like talk and fill in the lulls of conversation, you have to have a good subject matter, like, yeah, it's crazy difficult. And the equipment, you have to have good sound quality, nuts.
Oh, people have no idea how important it is to have good sound. Because when I started YouTube, I was just thinking, oh, it's video. The visuals must be the most important. But the thing is, if you have bad sound, people will turn it off.
It's true. Yeah, you're right. Oh, your lobster is so vibrant. I love it. I want to add some yellow to mine. That was a cool idea.
I love that you added the blue rubber bands.
Yeah, I love those.
So the reason I'm bringing up the podcast is I have this friend who is like, I want to do a podcast. I'm going to do this, this, and this. And I'm like, do you have any equipment? They're like, no. What are you going to do for it? I'm going to host all these guests. I'm like, do you know how hard it is to host guests? Like, I have learned it the hard way, how difficult it is to manage a guest.
Oh, man. Oh, God. And you just have to, like, make sure everyone's entertained. You have to, like, it stresses me out, the thought of it.
Well, so a lot of you may not know this, but us as a staff, we really had to train ourselves to be on the stream. Like Mia, I had a whole checklist for you before this. So Christiana Taylor says, everyone wants to make money. They take a crude idea and suck out as much money from it as they can. Yeah, and honestly, if you're doing a podcast for money, that is the most difficult way to make money. Yeah, and Leanne says, I think it's because the output is more laid back than it seems like a laid back production. There's so much going on behind the scenes. I mean, have you done a lot of audio work, Mia?
Audio work, did you say?
Yeah, like have you worked in audition or done like sound mixes or things like that?
Yeah, a little bit. I think mainly I've worked in like Premiere mostly with things like that. But yeah, audio is a different kind of beast, I think.
All right, everybody. I hope that you will join Mia and I in the ArtProf Discord for a stage session. We're going to chat with you all on voice. You can post your art along pieces for us to critique, or you can chat with us about anything. You don't have to talk on stream necessarily. So meet us in the post live streams stage channel. And of course, a big thank you to our top Patreon supporters. You are all so important. Every contribution makes a difference. And I know it's easy to look at our list and say, wow, you have so many people. We do, but you know what? Like the podcast, it takes a lot of people and resources to keep ArtProf up and running. So we are so grateful for your support. So everybody, thank you so much for watching. We'll see you next time. Bye.